broadcasting from AnyUpMagazine.com and 620 WDAE AM, the sports animal in Tampa Bay, Florida.
With your hosts, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's time to Ante Up. It's August 8th, 2008, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet. And Scott, we are in a fine studio.
This is a very nice studio. We always appreciated that beautiful studio that the Times built for us, but now we're actually in a real radio station.
Real.
Our new friends here at the 620 WDAE, the Sports Animal.
Sports Animal.
And they've got a great new website coming up. People should check that out. And it hasn't launched yet, I don't believe. But as soon as it does, we'll give you the address for that. And some of that content powered by Ante Up Magazine.
That's right. It's going to be a poker club. And they're trying to bring some poker players together from the Tampa Bay area and from around the state. I love it here, too. I love these. I always love the soundproof walls and, you know, the different colors and all these gadgets and stuff. I have no idea what we're doing
yes,
here.
Yes, exactly. I'm just pushing buttons just for the fun of it.
I think you just started a war with Iran somewhere in there.
Thermonuclear war.
But it's nice to be in here. And I tell you, hey, you know, it's kind of weird, too, the date
yes.
today, 888.
A lot of snowmen.
Yeah, that or a lot of dog balls. A deformed dog. you know, it's weird because just on a whim, I remembered that. You know, Pacific Poker, they're 888.com or whatever. So I started wondering, you know, what else is out there for 888? Is there something interesting that's poker related? And, you know, really not a lot of poker stuff, but it's a toll-free number, 888.
Yeah.
And,
right.
Of course, did you know that it's the number of Jesus Christ?
I did not know that.
666 is a number of the beast. And apparently, 888 is the number of Jesus Christ.
I've always been calling him at 511. I get great information, but I can't get through to him. But now I know why. It's 888. All right.
It's 888. And, you know, it's like apparently they take the Greek letters of the alphabet or something, and the way you would spell Jesus in the Greek letters, and then when you give them the numeric value or something, it adds up to 888. And it's like, oh, my God. Like, first of all, he already gets to sit at the right hand of God. Now he has a toll-free line. He has a poker site. And he gets a whole day dedicated to himself. Oh, wait a minute.
Actually, I think...
That's Christmas, right? He's already got it. Yes, a whole day. Yeah. Well, so he gets two. I mean, he is our savior, so...
But he probably does have every day dedicated to himself.
But that's just pretty wild. 888. I remember a few years ago when it was 777.
Yes, exactly. Seems like just last year.
Just last year, there was
13 months ago. But, you know, a lot of poker rooms are doing a lot of great promotions on 808.
Yeah.
08.
Yeah.
Around here, I'd be interested in what our listeners have to say about the poker rooms where they live. And but a lot of $888 giveaways. And
yeah, pocket eights. With pocket eights. And
exactly. And I went to another track on this last trip I took. And every person that comes through the gates gets a free bet on the eighth dog in the eighth race.
Wow.
So I'm sure it's going to be like some kind of 50-to-1 long shot or something. They got a big insurance policy for that. But
they're going to bring in a three-legged dog for that one race.
But if you're not out in a live poker room, I don't care where you live, I'm sure there's an 808 promotion going on today. So
absolutely.
Put a little pause on the podcast. Take it with you and listen to it at the poker room. Get some of that free cash.
You know, speaking of numbers, too, last night, we've been so busy wrapping up our magazine that I haven't had time to watch all the poker live. So I've been recording it. And... you know, there was one hand last night where a guy looked down at seven deuce offsuit. And Norman Chat says, hey, 7-2, you know, in Florida, they call that the perfect season because of the 72 Dolphins. And I thought, no, they don't. We're in Florida. I've never heard anyone say that.
Well, maybe in South Florida with all those big domino tournaments going on.
Maybe. You know, it must be nice, Norman Chat, to have, you know, like a whole 6 months to record your show and think of funny things to say, whereas we have to do off the cuff, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I guess up here in Tampa Bay, it'd be like the being dealt 0-16, and then we call that the Tampa Bay box.
Tampa Bay. You get an A6. That's what it is. A6. Because you know what? Nothing goes with an A6. So 0-16 right there. Oh, my God. But I mentioned the fact that we've wrapped up our first issue of the Ante Up, so we're pretty excited about that. How are we going to celebrate? We're going to celebrate by throwing a home game. Maybe.
Home game.
Man, it's been a while since we've had a home game at your house.
And I'm ready for it, too. I need to get playing some of these weird games that I know how to play and taking money from people I know how to take money from.
Yeah, that's what we're ready for. We're ready to make some money, finally. But, yeah, and it's good, too, to get to see some of the people that we haven't seen in a while. You know what? I'm jonesing for it, man. I haven't played. I've been playing online.
Yeah,
lately.
It's just not the same.
But it's just not the same.
Home game is is the creme de la creme of poker.
Yeah, especially for the Antioch Brass.
Man. Exactly.
It's what we crave. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I can't wait to talk about that next week and how I bluffed you on the river and limit hold'em too, which is always my favorite. Whenever I can bluff you in limit, it's like a true notch in my belt.
It costs you a lot of money to do it too. But for our listeners that can't make the home game, the next best thing for them always is Apes.
Right.
And we took a little early recording option last week, so we haven't talked about since Rant 2112.
Ba-bow, ba-bow,
ba-bow, ba-bow. It just bothers me to no end that people name themselves after Rush, like you.
But he took it down. Split pot limit Omaha and pot limit Hold'em.
Pot limit ha.
Ha.
The official game of Last Comic Standing.
Comedy Central. So I have actually blocked out that memory of how I went out. I mean, I think I had Ace Jack versus Queens, but I can't remember. I just can't remember.
So that new poker counseling that you're in now is the $200 an hour is paying off. Yeah.
It's definitely
wiping stuff from your memory.
It's definitely helping out. I mean, I can't remember any bad beats. I can't remember the random card generator screwing me at all. No, I really don't remember. I think that's how I went out, but it was a while ago, and we've been so busy that I've blocked it out. But I remember it being a lot of fun, and I remember thinking when I got to the hold'em round again, I said, wow, I didn't get eliminated by pot limit, which I always end up going out when I play split tournaments like that. That's always the round I go out in. So I was kind of psyched, but then I ended up going out and hold'em. So that was like, yeah. But
yeah.
I was doing okay for a while. I just had a lot on my mind, and I was doing work for the magazine
and
coming back to my hands and not really paying attention, and people want to chat with you, and it's tough. It's really tough to focus. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that's why I can't remember really what happened.
Well, I was pretty focused too, and then I just don't know what happened. It's one of those, I think that's a common thing in tournaments, isn't it? You get you start off and you're building your chips slowly, and you get a stack, and you're like, all right, I'm kind of comfortable.
Right.
And then the blinds get big, and you're not really paying attention. Maybe that's what it is. The next thing you know, you wake up, and I'm like,
I'm
kind of back to average or short stacked, and then boom. All it takes is one hand.
Yeah, the blinds.
I hate that.
It's the quick blinds.
I need to learn to adjust to that somehow.
It's really difficult. You need to pick a hand sometimes or whatever, and then they creep up on you, and you don't even know that, oh my God, I really only have eight big blinds left. I didn't realize it, and then it's too late. I really enjoyed the Apes this time. I love, even like in my home game at home, not with you, but with my family and stuff, the other day we played a different game other than Hold'em, and it's just like my brain focuses more when the games are mixed.
Yeah.
When it's just one game, I tend to just be like, ugh, this is so boring,
Very
but
true.
At least in a tournament, when there's more than one, I'm like, all right, now I'm playing Hold'em. Now I'm playing Omaha. I can play all different hands, or whatever. Because I always feel like, too, if I'm running bad in Hold'em, when I get to Omaha, it's like, well, here's my chance.
It is.
Maybe I'll have more cards. Maybe my chance to, and vice versa. All right, Hold'em. Omaha, I'm playing too tight. When I get to Hold'em, it's going to be a lot easier to focus,
exactly.
Or whatever. So I love that part, and I really enjoyed the tournament. I just can't remember anything from it. I can't remember what happened. I mean, I'm pretty sure I went out with Ace Jack, but...
Well, I'll tell you, the Antioch home game is well represented at that final table, too. New Scott Snuffy finished second, and Gambit finished third.
Yep.
And then even our winner, Matt Rant, I played with him. I played Omaha with him out at the Caesars Palace on my Las Vegas trip.
That's
his first time playing Omaha. So.
That's right.
So I like to think I had a little part in him winning his banana.
You taught him well. Grasshopper.
And he says our address. We'll get that banana right out to you, Matt. And the next event, August 28th, Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, on Full Tilt, Stud 8.
Yeah, my favorite.
Password is Antioch.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go out on a limb and say I'm finally going to cash.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to finally cash this year. I've had a lot on my mind, and my focus has been on other things, but Stud 8, I've embraced Stud 8 as my favorite game, and I'm going to cash.
Yeah.
You hear that?
Absolutely. All right, I'm writing it down now.
All right, I'm going to cash. Oh, man, we have to talk about this.
From cash to splash.
Oh, man, that is an awesome segue. I shouldn't have said anything. I should have just let you said that.
I am a pro.
Awesome. Antioch Nation, if you have not seen this video, you have to see it. The big question is, was it staged or was it real? I think it was real. You think it was staged. It's a video on YouTube. You can find it easily. Just type in Negreanu and you'll find it. But he gets interviewed by this off the wall. What's it called?
I can't remember exactly the website, but it's like a European kind of website.
Yeah, it's like sicktilt.com or something. And they try to make you go into what they're questioning, I think. But this moron interviews Danny Negreanu poolside right after like some European event like the Monaco Millions or something.
Right.
And they're talking about it, and this guy starts hammering at Negreanu with statements like, well, you know, you ever thought about, you know, hanging up, you know, the game and giving it up and just becoming a broadcaster? And Negreanu's like, no, I know you saw me broadcasting here, you know, doing some of the, you know, the play-by-play stuff, he said, but I'm a player, you know. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, you haven't been winning a lot lately. And Negreanu's like, bro, I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, everybody goes through slumps and stuff. And he said, yeah, but I was watching you. I was railing you for a while, and you really didn't, you know, you weren't doing that. And he's like, well, you know, you're a journalist, so you're probably not a poker player. So you probably, some of the moves I made, you probably didn't understand. And the guy's like, you know, I really don't know how to take that, you know, because I play online. I played for 4 years. And
that's my favorite part.
Negreanu's like, oh, my God, I've had slumps that lasted 4 years. This guy's only played for 4 years. Who's he talking? So at first he thinks it's a joke. But then this guy's like,
needling.
I've won more money than you online. You're terrible, blah, blah, blah. And that's it. Negreanu's like, and he pushes him in the pool and then walks away. So at that point, I'm like, oh, it's staged. But then the guy gets up out of the pool and he starts dropping the F-bombs, saying that Doyle Brunson said you were an a-hole, you're an effing this and effing that. And Negreanu's like, dude, I'm nice. I'm giving you an interview, and you know, I take my time out. I'm running bad, and I still talk to you. I'm still gracious, and you do this. And then when he started dropping the bro a lot, that's when I said, I don't think this is staged anymore.
All right, well, that's what you say.
But you think it was staged?
I don't know. Kind of. I mean, it was compelling acting if it was not staged. But it seems so unreal.
But he's a poker player. He's a good actor.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's
is
true.
That what you're thinking? That
but you know, I get the whole, you know, an interviewer trying to make a name for themselves by, you know, the whole Jim Rome thing with Chris Everett.
Yeah. Everett.
And but the whole Daniel pushing him in the pool, it just seems so, I don't know.
Well,
that part,
know,
didn't seem real. It sounded like, you know, all right, you're going to push me for a while, and then I'm going to push you in the pool.
What I think was Daniel was sizing up the exit, because I could see he could see that he can go over that little bridge and get out of there quick.
Yeah, they set that all up, too.
Chase him. I mean, the name of the thing is like Sick Tilt or whatever it's called. So, I mean, maybe they wanted him to get so mad that they would push him into the pool. I don't know. But when he starts using Doyle Brunson saying that he was a jerk, I mean, that's too far. You'd have to get Doyle Brunson's approval to say something like that.
Yeah, but you never know what's going on in these kind of marketing things and stuff like
but
that.
But anyway, yeah, it's got us talking about it, of course.
Exactly, exactly.
And I just read Dan Negreanu's Power Hold'em Strategy. That was a pretty decent book, and I got into his small ball and stuff like that. So next issue, I'm going to do a review of the book and talk about the different chapters written by the other pros and then his small ball chapter, which I thought was pretty enlightening. Anyway, look for that in AntiUpMagazine.com in October.
And always have a wetsuit on when talking to Daniel.
Put your galoshes on.
See, that's why we're smarter. We interview him via phone.
I know.
Best he can do is just hang up on us and then crank us later. We can't get wet.
Well, speaking of Negreanu, who is represented by Poker Stars, didn't we get a cool letter to this week?
We did, and I don't know exactly the news value of the hand, though. For people that don't know this already, there's some news value, but I like it because of the entrancing prose of this particular email is what attracted me.
Prose, P-R-O-S-E, not the entrancing pros who are associated with Poker Stars, P-R-O-S.
Oh, very nice, very nice. There's P-R-O apostrophe S? That's a big debate.
I mean, good thing I'm the editor of the magazine.
Yeah.
Just do the writing.
All right, so this email comes from The Abacus.
Mm.
Yeah, good name, I like that.
Yes.
He says he's an online player, of course, and usually multi-tables, 3 or 4 Omaha high-low games. See, I'm already it's like my long-lost brother.
Yeah.
And he says, as much as he likes the dead money in PokerStars, he could not stand the previous hand link because it took his scrolling list of size 3 font novels about what exactly happened. So he says he played on Full Tilt for that one reason. But he went back to PokerStars, played an Omaha high-low tourney, and he said he seized his button with an arrow in a circle. I clicked it, and my body succumbed to an enthralling shower of warm fuzzies and a newfound hope and optimism in the online poker world that the largest poker site has finally come out of the 90s and has instant previous hand animation, including real-time betting, a speed-through option, and, of course, giving me the ability to show my girlfriend exactly why I folded that perfect ace of clubs, ace of spades, two of clubs, three of spades, hand on a board of 9 of hearts, 10 of hearts, jack of hearts, without having to pull out the magnifying glass.
You know, it sounds like Abacus has a career path for him now where he could, like, write those fake letters for Penthouse Forum. Because I tell you, I was really intrigued by that letter.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
We should hook him up, make him a correspondent. Of course, we can't pay him anything. But
can't pay anything, but if you want to write for Antioch Magazine, let us know. We're all for it. Matter of fact, anybody in the Antigap Nation, they want to provide any news for us pertaining to Florida poker or online, let us know. We'll take a look at it. We're all about the gratis. Well, you know what? I think even though we're inside a studio, I can still hear the hotline.
The hotline is very loud. We can hear it all over.
What's really exciting about it is today's hotline is brought to you by the kind folks at dbdealer.com.
Hey, Scott and Chris, this is Charlie from New York. I'm the guy who told you guys about RAS being illegal in New Jersey. Well, I had another interesting trip down to Atlantic City, and it relates to your spread limit discussion in Independence Day podcast. I was playing in a 1-5 stud game, and basically the average age was somewhere around dead, where there was a hearse double parked outside the entrance of the poker room. Pretty quick after the couple of hands, it was pretty obvious that any time that basically these guys were about tight as a clam's backside. So for about a half an hour, I raised the limit every hand, and unless somebody woke up with a monster, I was able to take down the antes and the blinds every time. So I guess what I'm trying to say here, besides don't play spread limit in New Jersey with a bunch of people who are past in the 90s, because it's boring as watching grass grow.
Don't! It got cut,
got cut off.
Oh, my God. Well, hey, you know what? We warned you. I guess we'll never know what
you get. One minute. That's all you get.
That's all you get, you know? But I'll tell you what, Charlie, to help you better keep track of your time, the nice folks at DB Dealer are going to send you a DB Dealer button for free. So the next time you call us, you can set it to 1 minute and then watch the DB Dealer button and know when you need to stop talking when you're leaving us a hotline clip. So call us back and call us at our hotline clip at 813-448-1120 and send us your address and we will send that DB Dealer button your way.
And for all future callers, remember you got 1 minute.
That's right.
Do your best 1 minute call.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another 1 Minute Mystery, The Case of the Dirty Banana.
It's the Apes 2 main event, and it's still early in this No Limit Hold'em tournament. In this hand, I'm in mid-position with just under a starting stack size. The blinds are posted, and a couple of folds to me, and I peek down at King of Spades, Ace of Spades. It's early, so I just raise it up to 2x big blind. Play's been a little tight.
Oh, I don't think we are trying to steal anything here.
Folds to the button, who raises to 265, or 3x our raise, and the blinds fold back to me.
I don't give up that easily, sir. You can count on that.
So I make the call, we have a nice pot of 570, and the flop comes down 8 of diamonds, jack of diamonds, ace of diamonds, 3 diamonds. Since my cards are black, I check, and the button bets 445 into 570. I'm thinking that there is only a few scenarios where I've fallen behind here, so I decide to call. Will he fire again?
Maybe you could take the initiative away from him.
That would be bold. Let's see what the turn brings us. The King of Hearts. Interesting. Just got more interesting. The pot is about 1,500. You have about 2,000 behind. Your opponent has you covered by about a 2-to-1 stack. What's your move now?
When I heard this last week, and I remember him saying it was the Apes 2 main event.
Right, right.
The hand sounded so familiar to me. And then I realized, and then we got an email, which confirmed it for me, that he had done this hand before, but from a different perspective. Do you remember that hand? Well, obviously you remember the hand because we just heard it again. But, I mean, do you remember that when he did it from the player's perspective rather than from Columbo's? And so we actually got contacted by Chad, who was the person in the hand. And he sent us an email, and this is what confirmed it for me. He said, "So I see Columbo is recycling hands." He said, "I was a villain in this hand and replied 8 months ago when the hand was used then. He did throw a little twist in it, though, by playing the hand from his perspective this time instead of mine. He said, here are my thoughts on how he should play this hand. If you ignore the obvious mistake preflop of min-raising and then flat-calling the re-raise, I think the proper play would be to lead or check-raise. And that's what I had said last week about the min raise was a mistake. So did you. So by leading, you are forcing me to play a large pot, and if I don't have a large diamond, I'd be forced to fold. If Colombo check raises, he'd obviously have to fold to a shove, but to me it looks like a flush or at least a combo draw and four betting would be difficult. By check raising and then folding to a shove, I think he commits less to the pot than calling multiple streets. And I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's kind of lost here. He doesn't know where he is, and now he's got top two and feels good, and but not good enough to actually know how good he should feel.
Right. And then also, not just directly from email, but we also on our forum, where we always post the Colombo mystery at anteupmagazine.com/forum, we have a little recap on there. And Irish Fan was on there and said, I think there's a decent chance we're behind here. Ace, ace, jack, jack, and king of diamonds, queen of diamonds are very possible. And 8-8 even is two if this is a loose player. I'm also worried about ace, x, king of diamonds for a free roll. He says, the real question is, what hands can he hold that we have beat? Ace, queen, 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 and 10-10? He said, and 10-10 should slow you down now. That's about it, though. You can consider ace-jack if you're playing like Blas, or ace-10 if you're playing against Cosenza. He said, heck, even queen-10 for Scott. But regardless, in a decent field, which it seems to be that Apes is, there are only about three made hands you could be ahead of now, a combo draw or a bluff. This being said, I'm not sure I could lay down top two with over a third of my stack already in the pot because of the size of the flop bet, indicating he's either afraid of Colombo having a big diamond or unconcerned of it. I'm expecting to see jack-jack or a king of clubs, king of diamonds turned over when all the money gets in. I probably put some defensive bets out there and try to have some money left. But I think if he shoves, I got to call and expect to be done. That's the thing about poker is you don't know, like he was saying, how he's either unconcerned or he's really concerned.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to decipher that information. So
that makes a good point, too, that I think a lot of players are not going to lay this hand down.
Right. No, I don't know if I could lay that hand down.
Yeah. So we'll see.
And I got a call from Colombo, too, during the week when he heard what my reaction was. And he's like, why do you always have this thing about shoving? And I was like, hey, when I know I got the best hand, I'm going to shove it. So I thought I had the best hand at the time. So let's see what happens in part two.
Welcome back. I'm finding it really hard to put him on a hand for, and therefore I only see two ways to play this street, assuming you guys saw it in the first place. The first is to take the play away with two pair and shove, pushing him off any draws, but having a few outs if he flopped a flush. The other way is to check and see if he fires again, although my read is that he will.
I'll just wait over here, sir.
Unable to put him on the flopped flush, I shoved. Did you shove like I did? Well, then I'll see you over at the rail for a beer, because he flopped a set of jacks. There certainly are enough hands that beat me here that I needed to be concerned with my flop call. The board fools me into thinking he's just chasing a flush redraw with any part of the board, effectively disguising his flopped set. Just as surprising is the expectation that the set of jacks would at least consider folding. And yet he didn't. Either he had a great read on me, or it was just reckless.
Who can say?
Well, I can say this. It's always easier to lay down hands later in a tournament. Until next time, this is Colombo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, waiting for the next Apes event.
Well, even if he was wrong with a set of jacks, he's still at 10 outs to redraw.
Yeah, but, you know, again, this is... Colombo didn't try to get information on the flop.
Yeah. And the min raise, too, didn't help him out either.
So if I got a set of jacks, I'm betting out, and then, you know, if I'm not getting any fight back from someone, I guess I'm a little worried that maybe there's a flush there, but I don't know.
Well, we'll see next week to see if Colombo revisits another hand or if he'll come up with a fresh one and to, you know, to, and see if you find some information with that hand to make you happy. Do you get enough? Poker, that is. Get in more playing time by buying her a gift card from Red Bamboo Medispa in Northwood Plaza, Clearwater. Call 727-726-6100 or visit redbamboomedispa.com. The winning cards are gift cards from Red Bamboo Medispa.
So Chris, our guest today, is a member of the Anteup Nation. I played with him at the World Series of Poker last year. I was at a cash game, looked across the table, and he said, "You're Scott Long from Anteup," and I'm like, "Yes, I am."
Hey, I remember that. Wasn't that about the same time I was told I was SOL because my last 1500 was not there at the table, and I stopped the entire World Series of Poker all by myself?
That was the exact same time.
I remember that. How fortuitous that he's now actually on the show.
But we had a great chat there, and now he's got a great new product coming out called Security Card Dealer. and his Deal Guardian software. And so, Nick, Mariana, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Scott and Chris. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Great. All right, now you said that there was, like, you had a big moment. We had problems on an online site, and it led you down this path to what's resulting in the Deal Guardian.
This was primarily my first experience with Absolute Poker. I was on there playing a cash game, and there was one guy at the table that was just doing very well with very poor hands. And I was just sitting there thinking, oh, I'm just waiting for my shot. Give me my aces, you know? And sure enough, and he's also chatting it up in there. He's antagonizing people, calling them losers, things like that. And so now I really want to get him. And I look down, and I got pocket kings. And sure enough, he types in the chat window, watch this. And he ends up winning the hand with 9-2. And
oh,
I
excellent.
Thought, right then and there, something's wrong, you know. So that's when I started thinking about, you know, what kinds of things can we do to solve this problem.
All right, so what did you do to solve it? Tell us a little bit about the software.
You know, the sites themselves have to maintain, you know, hand information,
right.
And during the course of a live hand. And, you know, whenever that data is available electronically, you know, it's available to be snooped and used in an incorrect manner. And so I thought if we took that hand information away from the site and provided a service that gave them, you know, dealt cards out for them, you know, we kind of take away that possibility that somebody at the site itself could either feed card information to other players or, you know, maybe have a way where players can actually just get that card information. So the Deal Guardian service kind of, you know, I kicked that around with my partners, Steve Burney and Bill Schoonmaker, and they're like, this is a great idea, let's go with it. So about a year ago, we sat down and had a Red Robin and kind of started drawing everything out.
So now, what at this point, were you thinking, okay, we're just going to go, like trial by fire, or did you actually contact some of these sites and say, we're interested in doing this thing, if we come up with a good product, you know, are you guys going to be interested in using us? How did that work out?
Well, we actually started thinking, let's prove the product out first. So we started constructing it, and we designed it all out, put together the service. We actually took some mock, we found some free source poker software out there, and we actually were able to tie our service into it pretty quickly and prove that, you know, we were able to play a hand of poker on this mock site without the site ever knowing who had what cards until the end of the hand, of course, or what cards were to come. And with that in mind, we started saying, okay, this can be done. Now that we got the product out there, we've actually been fine-tuning it for the past, you know, several months or so, but we, you know, just officially started marketing it this week. We sent out some marketing letters out to three sectors of the poker community, one being a regulatory-type body for the online poker community, and then the other one would be some of the software development houses, because a lot of the software is developed by, you know, just a few of the manufacturers. A lot of the rooms don't, you know, build their own software. And then the third one would be a sector of the media, outside of Annie Up, of course.
Okay, so obviously, you know, we've had some problems with Absolute and Ultimate Bet, big scandals where this kind of stuff goes on. So I got to think that you're pretty stoked with, I mean, no one wants to be happy about those kind of things, but this is speaking exactly to what you're talking about, right?
Exactly. What we do is, you know, there's two things. There's two technologies that we use, and we actually have them. They're in a patent pending state right now, but we use a technology called hand summary obfuscation, and that's the one I've been talking about, where the card room doesn't know what cards have been dealt to players. They don't know what the state of the hand is until the end of the hand, when, you know, it needs to be shown who won. And we do that because we're holding all that data on our site, and then we give them an indirect way to get to that data. But there's no direct correlation between the information on our site and their site. It would even make it hard for somebody on our site working with somebody on their site to figure out which hand goes which hand, if you know what I'm saying.
Gotcha, okay.
And the other one is down card concealment. with their client software, their client would give us the appropriate encryption information so that only their poker clients, you know, the one running on your desktop, would be able to decrypt the cards we give them. So what we'll do is we'd use this information. This is what we call down card concealment. We take any down card that's given to a player, we encrypt it with their private key, and then we send that to the card room. So the card room doesn't even know what the down card is. So they'll forward that information over down to the player, and then the player can decrypt the cards and see what he's holding.
Let me ask a question that I think everybody's probably asking at home. You mentioned a little bit about how hard it is to get into this software. Explain a little bit more about why people would feel safer knowing that their hand were being dealt by Deal Guardian rather than by Absolute Poker or Full Tilt.
Yeah, I mean, everybody out there, you can see, check out the blogs. There are a number of people that are kind of disgruntled, and you know, they've taken some bad beats online, and you know, they're just looking for anybody to blame. And of course, the site, who has control over what cards are being dealt and card information, is probably the first place that's going to take a knock from these players. What we're trying to say to them is, look, we're not profiting in any way from the outcome of a hand. So we don't, you know, it's in our best interest to deal a hand out that's, you know, has a high level of integrity. So what we're trying to say is that, you know, we're gonna do the right thing, and the card rooms that are using us are obviously wanting to do the right thing. I think they want to do the right thing today. It's just that there's little vulnerabilities here and there that are being exploited, and we're finding out about these as time goes on. With us, if a card room's using our service, you know that you're getting a fair hand dealt to you, fair and unbiased, and you know that there's nobody at the poker site who's going to be able to exploit any hand information to make the course of a hand an unfair game for anybody.
Well, you know, Nick, you bring up the fact that you wouldn't have any reason or any gain from dealing out a particular hand that's advantageous to one or the other. Is your company going to be open for being audited and things like that? Because that's one of the biggest problems with, say, Ultimate Bet and all those other places, with that these employees weren't trusted and they weren't trustworthy, and they were the ones who had manipulated the system to work in their favor. Is this something that you're going to be audited? Are you going to have to deal with, like, the Conaway Gaming Commission, things like that?
Well, we haven't spoken directly with those bodies yet, but our assumption is that we will need to have some level of auditability.
Okay.
And it's actually that auditability that was exposed at Ultimate Bet this last time, I think. You know, the gaming site has to keep track of all this information. And
right.
As long as the information's out there, somebody's going to be able to use it. Because our information is kind of hidden from the actual live hand, it kind of gives you that layer of security that, you know, nobody's going to be able to tell somebody at the table what I'm holding.
Right.
So we're going to be able to, you know, still provide that auditability, but because of the hand summary obfuscation, we're going to keep that information secret until it needs to be known.
Okay, now what about, like, hand histories and things like that? Like, will the actual hosting sites be able to have access to the hand histories once the hands are over so that they can deal with, you know, problems or somebody gets booted off their connection? Or are they still going to be able to be connected to that kind of information after the hands are over?
Yeah, actually, that's what will happen is at the end of the hand, the card room will tell us, hey, okay, we're done with this hand, and we'll basically send them all the information about the hand at that time.
Okay.
In the clear, so that they know what everybody's holdings were, and then they can expose the cards they need to and what have you.
Okay.
In addition to that, what we're thinking of as a future add-on service is, say the players still don't trust what's going on, we're going to give them the ability to, on behalf of the player, the card room can send us a request that says, hey, send this player this information. And we can tell them exactly how the hand should have played out based off of what we know, you know, how we dealt the cards out and what have you.
So does this mean, like, the RCG and all the algorithms and all that stuff, that's all going to get funneled through your system as well?
That's right. The random card generator is lives on our system. We actually I think we've done a pretty good job with that, too. We've done some things to make it pretty uncrackable. So I think we have a pretty good RCG. It's not a continuous shuffler, which I know, you know, some of the pure mathematical statisticians say, who cares? But I know Chris and I know that a deck is built and then a deck is dealt from. So that's what we actually do.
Excellent.
Now, Nick, are you guys, this is just for online poker rooms right now, or are you guys going to work on something for, like, you know, online blackjack and stuff like that down the road?
It's possible. We actually, with our Deal Guardian, we're not limited to just poker right now. We've opened up the interface enough to where the card rooms can just tell us, all right, you got this many players, and, you know, here's the first card's down, the second card's up, and what have you. But, yeah, we're thinking about that. Maybe, you know, other games of chance in the future. Who knows? If this, you know, having a third party involved kind of, you know, lends a lot of credibility to any type of gaming environment.
Well, if you bring back Old Maid, I'm all in.
All right, Nick, we appreciate you joining us. Tell our listeners where they can contact you if they're interested in more information.
Yes, you can contact us on our site. It's www.securecarddealer.com.
Great, Nick. Well, we appreciate you calling in and telling us about this, and we wish you the best of luck.
Want Rays news from real Rays fans? OutsPerSwing.com. OutsPerSwing.com has interviews, analysis, and all the breaking news for your Tampa Bay Rays. Are you looking for up-to-date news on the most exciting team in baseball? Check out OutsPerSwing.com. That's OutsPerSwing.com.
Hey, this is AJ Benzie.
This is Justin Bonomo.
This is Downtown Chad Brown.
Hi, this is Clint Gallen.
This is Daniel Negreanu.
Hey, this is David Singer.
This is Linda Johnson.
Hi, this is Greg Raymer.
Hi, this is Hoyt Corkins.
Hi, this is Cindy Violet.
Hi, this is John D'Agostino.
This is Joe Seabock.
This is Jennifer Harmon.
Yeah, this is Johnny Chan.
This is Cowboy Kenna James.
Hi, this is Mark Safe.
This is Paul Wasika.
Hi, this is Miami Johnson.
This is Dola Brunson, and you're listening to Annie Up.
Today's Hand of the Week is brought to you by the Poker Whiz Wheel at PokerWhizWheel.com. 169 possible starting combinations that hold them all in one little handy wheel that you can take to your local casino or put by the laptop and figure out how to play your game.
You know what the best part about that wheel is? Is the guy who invented it, he was, like, serving in the Army.
Marines, right. Please.
And he had this wheel, like a cropping wheel for, like, us journalists or us designers. But
cropping wheel.
It's a wheel that spins and lines up the ammo with the gun or whatever. And that's how he knew what to use. And that is, like, so inspiring that he put that to good use. And now he's using it for poker. I mean, I love the little wheel. Look at it. It's the coolest looking thing ever. You know, and it reminds me of my journalism days back when I was, in school when I had to learn how to crop photos. I had a wheel that you lined up
exactly.
The first measurement with the second measurement. Same kind of thing. You line up your hand. What hand you have, and then you check on the grid, and it's pretty cool. I like the wheel. It's a good idea.
So let's look at our hand of the week. It's from a longtime listener, BitGuru.
Okay, BitGuru, one of our longtime listeners.
Longtime listeners, and he sent in a hand from a dollar plus 20 hold'em no limit online tournament.
So we already have a font of information with that one line you just said. It's a dollar tournament. So we already know that anything is possible. Is that right? Am I right?
Yes, anything could be possible,
okay.
Yes.
Any hand could be in the opponent's.
But it is level 7 now, so, right, so probably 90% of the donks are gone.
Okay, they've taken it pretty far. All right.
But I picked this hand because we're down to three players, and it's a blind thing. And playing those blinds are so difficult.
Yeah.
You know, we got a great review from Mike Vasso of Gus Hansen's new book in the September issue of Annie Up magazine. And one of the things he talks about in there is blind play. And so let's see if we can be a Gus Hansen.
So it's three-handed, so we're in the money, right?
Yeah.
So the pressure's
absolutely.
Off. If I make a mistake here, I'm not going to cause Big Guru to lose any money to go out in the bubble or anything. I mean, because he's sitting there at his computer waiting for me to give him my advice before he makes his next move.
So. All right. Okay. All right. Seat one has 1880 in chips. Seat six, 9,740. By far the chip leader here. And we are in seat eight with 1880. So two of us at 1880 and a big monster chip stack.
Okay.
All right. And we got a quarter Andes at this point.
Uh-huh.
And levels are 100, 200.
Okay, so it's like level 4, I guess.
All right, and we are in the big blind, and the chip leader is in the small blind.
So there's 375 in the pot, and we're in the big blind. So we're out of position to the button, but we're in position to the small one. So let's go from there.
Exactly. Okay, so the button folds.
Oh, that's good. So now we got position, no matter what.
Yep.
That's good.
But we're left with the big chip stack.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, the other one probably wouldn't have been any better because we had the same amount of chips.
Same line. Yeah, either way, we just take it on top.
All right, and he calls the small blind. It comes to us with five of spades, six of clubs in the big blind.
Okay. I'm happy to see a flop here. Are you?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to consult my whiz wheel here.
All right, let's see what
and,
the whiz wheel says.
6-5, let's see, 43%. It's an orange.
Now what?
On the lower end, right?
Blue
the blue's the best. Blue, green, yellow, orange, red.
Ooh, so we're almost where it's not good.
Yeah, we're in a call fold kind of situation here, according to the whiz wheel, so we can flip a coin.
But we're in the big blind, so we don't
do
anything.
Yeah, we can't fold, right? So we got a call.
So we just check.
So we're not going to raise.
Yeah, we don't raise. We just check. We don't raise with that hand, which is what it's telling you to do.
Exactly.
All right.
So see the whiz wheel works.
Who needs me? I'm going to go somewhere else, get a cup of coffee, and you figure out the rest of the hand with the whiz wheel.
All right. So we check. So go to the flop. 9 of hearts, 2 of clubs, 8 of diamonds. Pot's 475 right here.
God, all we have is a gut shot, and that's it. Maybe a backdoor flush. Are we suited? I forgot. No, we're not even
no,
suited.
No, we're not suited either.
All we have is a gut shot, and it's the gut shot to the ignorant end. So I don't like this hand at all. Why did he send this?
At all? You don't like it?
Oh, I hate it.
All right. Well, I'll throw a little piece of something that I might like in it, but I generally 98% don't like this hand.
Yeah, I wouldn't like this hand. I mean, if he checks to me, I might try to steal.
That's the 2% that I'm talking about.
Yeah, but...
And that's what happens. He checks to us.
But is it so important to take this hand down? Why not take a free look at it and hope you hit the 7 and then have a disguise?
Okay. I can see that.
I just can't see myself trying to steal for a minuscule $300, $375 in the pot.
Oh, $475, actually.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, 475 now. Yeah, so maybe. I mean, I'm aggressive and whatever, but if I'm going to bet, I'm going to shove.
All right. Now, of course, it's the chip leader, which kind of makes me, yeah, you're going to shove. Yeah, gotcha.
I'm just kidding. I was waiting for you to laugh.
Yeah.
Because I said I like to shove. You know?
No, I do slow down a little bit because it's the chip leader, and he's probably not going to play the games that I like to play. In other words, if I try to take a stab at this, he might call because he's got chips to do it.
Plus, he's the chip leader. Why did he limp?
Yeah.
Maybe he's trapping us. And all I have is the ignorant end of a gut shot straight. That's it. Even my 5 or my 6, if I pair it, probably isn't good. So I really want to get involved with the chip leader here when I don't have to. And I'm going to be on the button on the next hand? I'm checking behind.
All right, but it's also a flop that probably didn't hit him, I wouldn't think.
Again, we don't know. He's a chip leader and he limped in.
Okay.
He could have ace 9. He could have jack 10.
All right, so you're just going to check.
I'm just checking.
All right, you know what? That's what I was going to do, too. I just wanted to talk it out.
You're trying to get me in trouble with Big Guru.
Maybe somebody would do something else. I don't know. I take a stab here. You got to be aggressive, even if you're 1880 in chips against 97.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to check. I'm going to get that free card, take it, and hope I hit a 7 on the turn, and hope he doesn't have jack 10.
Okay. That would be the worst, wouldn't it?
All right, the money.
Turn comes with 6 of hearts.
All right, see, and like I said...
Two hearts out there, we paired her 6.
Yeah, and now a straight is possible.
Yep.
You could be playing... You don't know who this... It could be Dan Negrano playing you, who loves 7-10. You don't know. So, even now, the 6 might not be good. He could have limped with 7s, you know, and try to trap you, and it didn't happen. Now he's now he's open-ended, and he's got a pair better than yours.
So, yeah, if he had a pair of 7s, he would have betted on the flop.
Yeah, I'm sure he would have. But I'm just trying to play
all right.
The range of hands here, and I'm not happy hitting that 6. Even if my 6 is, you know... The kicker sucks. You have a 5. You could have a 6. And you're
still it's better
beat.
Than 4-3 or deuce.
You are beat by about 975 hands. And considering there's only 160-something combinations, that's pretty hard to do. But we are beat by a lot of different hands here. I'm still not happy with my pair of 6.
All right, well, let me ask you, if you get happier or less happy, I feel like the optometrist now, better 1 or 2? Happier or less happier when our opponent bets 200 into the pot of 475 on this turn card.
I'm probably folding.
All right, so you're less happy then.
Yeah, I don't want him betting. I would rather have another 6 come on the river for free, and then I feel a little more comfortable, but I'm not happy with this hand at all.
All right, well, it's less than a half a pot. He's a chip leader. He's probably taking a stab, figuring we didn't have anything. That's what I'm thinking here.
It's possible.
200. I'm probably not going to raise...
It's possible. I'm not raising with a pair of 6s and a 5 kicker.
Exactly.
On the board
well,
all over
if you determine that he's probably trying to steal, you probably should raise. But what I'm saying is just 200. Pot's now 675 with that.
But if I raise,
I've got a pair now.
Yeah, but if I raise, I'm looking at how about 1,000 left.
No, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying maybe this is an opportunity to call the 200 because I think I probably am ahead.
calling is for losers.
Yeah, well, I know, but all right. So if you call and then he checks on the river, then boom.
Then you can check it down. And
plus, you still have the option to get your straight or hit another six or five. Is probably okay. Not gonna be good.
Well, you're thinking like a limit player again. So I'm gonna fold.
You're just gonna fold for the two.
Yeah, I'm not happy with a pair of sixes, and I'm glad I got to see a flop for free. And maybe if I had a better feel for the other players, I don't know. You know, I don't really. He doesn't give us any information. All he gave was chip stacks, but. Maybe if I felt like when I was on the button next hand, I could steal the blinds back and get that money back. Maybe I call and hope to hit my gut shot with the implied odds. So maybe I would call, but I would prefer to just get out of this hand and move on and try to.
Okay, well, funny you mentioned implied odds, because this is what BitGuru was asking, because he called the 200 and he says bad call question mark. He said he would need 5-1 to justify calling with 9 outs, 4 outs for the straight, 2 outs for trips, 3 outs for 2 pair. Of course, you're not thinking that the straight outs are probably good.
Yeah, or the 2 pair odds might not be good either, because if he hits the 5, then all the other guy needs is a 7.
That's true.
Straight. So 2 pair.
All right, so then he said implied odds, question mark?
Yeah.
So I think we've answered that question, that the odds that he's counting here, probably you can't count.
It's going to be hard to get paid off if you make a straight, or if you make a straight, you may have the dummy end anyway. So it's hard to count those as outs. So like I said, I would rather just be done with his hand, but I may call just to see if I could hit my gut shot, and then maybe it's good. I don't know.
Again,
if you hit the gut shot, all he needs is a 10. I guess, right? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So the pot's 875. The river is 7 of spades.
Yeah. We made our gut shot and we have the bad dummy end of it.
All right. And our opponent bets out 400 now into this 875 pot.
So now we're really put to the test, because can you just call here and be done with and have like 500 chips left? God. See, this is why I didn't want to play the hand. See? Yeah.
Well, we've got 1425 according to BitGuru left here.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. If we call, we're
so
down
400
to like,
would leave you 1,025.
1,000, yeah.
Payouts are, he's got the payouts here. You know, because you got to put food on the table here. So it's $1.80, $2.70, and $4.50. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, either way, you're only going to lose 70 cents because you're not really thinking you're going to win this thing right now. You have to think about that in a few more hands from now. So I'm trying to figure out if I call or not.
If you call a raise, you mean, right? You're not folding.
Yeah, no. No, I may fold.
You may fold.
I may fold.
Even with your made straight there.
Yeah, I told you, Scott, all he needs is a 10.
That's true. That is true, but he's only betting 400 in there.
Only because that's what he wants you to think. It's only 400. He wants that money from you.
That's a little less than half. It's not a post-oak kind of smallish bet to kind of lure you in. I think that's a defensive bet.
It's a perfect amount to show me Jack 10. So I'm going to fold.
You're going to fold. All right.
I don't know what this hand is. I never saw it.
I'm a limit donk, so I'm going to call here. Yeah. I don't think I can raise now either. I don't want to commit.
I'm not raising.
I'd be happy to.
I'm not raising with a dummy end against a chip leader, and I'd be going out right then. So there's just no way.
All right. Okay.
I'm going to fold. I'm actually going to fold. People think I'm crazy and wild, but I'm tight there.
No. The real players know when to fold.
Well, I would have folded there.
That's what Kenny Rogers says.
Either. I probably wouldn't even have called that $200 bet. So I'm folding. What happens? I'm dying to know now.
All right. The calls. Yeah, stupid not to raise. And of course, you say no. And then I say no, too.
Right.
And a showdown. We have our straight. Our opponent. You think he has a 10, right?
I'm just saying that I don't want to take a chance of him having a 10.
Okay.
So I'm putting him on something like 10-9 or Jack 10 or even 10-7. I mean, he's limping. He can afford to limp with crap. So maybe he has a crappy hand, but he has a 10 in his hand. It just feels like. He had a draw. He checked it. He improved and bet. So I don't know. Maybe he has 2 pair, but he had 9-8. I have no idea. But I'm just saying it's so likely that he could have a 10 because everybody likes to see flops with a 10 in their hand, you know, and he's a chip leader. So I'm putting him on a 10 and I'm folding. I'm sorry.
Okay.
If I'm wrong, hey, you know, I got a lot on my mind.
All right. He flips over 9-8. Flop 2 pair.
Yeah.
BitGuru takes the pot.
See, I said 9-8 at the end there.
Yeah, you did.
I still would have gotten away from the hand because I need a massive suck out to win. So, yeah.
Yeah, because, well, I mean, a 6 would have helped us too, but.
Yeah. Well, no, because it would have. Oh, 3 sixes. Yeah. Yeah. But, again, we were way behind.
Exactly.
And we need a miracle to win. And even then, I'm sure he still didn't win the tournament. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll get a bunch of hate mail. Like I always do.
Yeah, we won't be anything new.
But anyway, I liked it, and I'm glad we kicked off our poker whiz wheel with that hand.
Yeah,
it was
a big guru, thank you for sending the hand in. So not only did you get 1675 in chips from winning that hand, you also won a poker whiz wheel. So send us your address, and we'll get that out. And you can use it next time to decide whether you want to play 5-6 from the big blind.
Man, that was awesome, Ham. I mean, I just had the folder. Well, Scott, it's great now being in a studio again. It was wonderful being in here, and I feel so professional. And that's what we are. We're professional now. We're professional podcasters.
Yes.
And I want to thank the folks at WDAE, the Sports Animal, for letting us use their studios. And again, go to their website and check us out in the future when we have our content up there. It's going to look pretty good. My name is Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we will see you at the table. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network. Broadcasting from AnnieUpMagazine.com and 620 WDAE, the Sports Animal in Tampa Bay. What's the next thing?
Tampa Bay, Florida.
Oh, Tampa Bay, Florida. And then what do I say after that?
Then I do the host.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So we need to have this stuff. You know?
Exactly.
All right. Do you get enough? Poker, that is. Do you get enough? Poker, that is. Getting more playing time by playing... this is weird. All right. Do you get enough?
All right.
Good luck.
Yeah. How's the purse swing?